Today is the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. Our lessons from the Holy Sacred Scriptures are from Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 to the first part of 2, and then verses 14 through 18. And then Psalm 34, verses 12 through 22, and the Gospel according to John chapter 6, verses 51 through 69. Joshua chapter 24. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." Now jumping down to verse 14. "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord, because he is our God." Here ends the reading from Joshua 24. Psalm 34, we read a portion of it last week. Here's another portion today. And again, Psalm 34 is of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. Beginning of verse 12. "Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned." Here ends the reading from Psalm 34, the Holy Gospel according to John chapter 6. Now, this week, beginning at verse 51, Jesus continues his teaching about being the bread. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Here ends the reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that the things that were cast down are being raised up, and that things that had grown old are being made new. And all things are being restored by Him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The prayer from the Gelasium Sacramentary. Choices, choices, choices. That's the title of today's message. Choices, choices, choices. Do you have the feeling when you sit down at the restaurant and the menu is handed to you, there are just too many choices to choose from? Or perhaps another time you're sitting at home and you want to fill some time with watching the TV before you, and you go, "What shall I watch?" And then you start flipping through the channels and channels, but before you start flipping through channels, actually bring up the channel guide and you start flipping through your choices. You know, there's about a gazillion choices now, from movies to sitcoms to game shows to sports to documentaries to classic TV. I can keep going on, gazillions of choices. I mean, the growth in streaming services, it just adds more and more choices. And there's a lot of free streaming services out there to find choices at. Pluto TV and Tubi are just two of them, because they have classic movies, the old classic TV when TV was really good and enjoyable. I mean, in this reality TV, I've been watching log homes in the Rockies and log homes being built in Alaska and moving to the mountains. And you can also go the other direction. You can find TV shows about moving to the seashore and looking at different houses and condos by the seashore. I mean, do you remember the days? The days when your choices of the big three and PBS was all there was? The days of only four television stations? Only four. And those long past memories, the younger generation has no idea and really are unable to comprehend that. You had only four television stations to choose from? I remember watching on my dad's Heathkit TV. Yes, my dad built a TV. Do you remember those old Heathkit kits you could buy? I mean, it was the biggest TV we could get in the house. It was a nice console TV, and I think the tube was about this big, and he built it. I mean, the Heathkits, it lasted for years. A couple times it had some problems. My dad just went in and fixed it because he had built it. He could repair it. These days, have you experienced spending more than 15 minutes just trying to decide what to watch on TV? Choices, 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 more choices. When there are too many choices, do you sort of feel like overload kicks in? Too many choices, overload kicks in and sets in, and life comes to a stall. Kids are not growing up. They're putting it off. They're not growing up like in past years. Fear of making the wrong choice for a career or choosing to get married or make a family. And choosing to put it off, to kick the can down the road out of fear of making a wrong choice. Have you forgotten? Well, we have forgotten. Years ago, there was no life stage known as adolescence. It didn't exist. You went from childhood to adulthood. And it happened naturally. Naturally. You grow up. You're an adult. Make adult choices. Adolescence, it's a modern invention that is destroying people. Have you recalled news stories of that 30 and 40-year-old kid living in the basement of their parents' home? How many times have we heard those stories these days? Now, as an industrial systems engineer at Ohio State University, I had a whole class on decision analysis. ISE 5830, a 5,000 level course. And the description's up on the web in the College of Engineering, and it seems to cover the same topics as when I was an engineering student. And I'm quoting from the description. Introduction to decision analysis. Modern utility theory and risk modeling, Bayesian inference, value of information, multi-attribute decision modeling, and application to engineering decision under uncertainty. Application to decision making under uncertainty. Uncertainty. I mean, engineering uncertainty, yes, there's uncertainty in life. Uncertainty in life. We live life under uncertainty, but we'd rather have certainty, especially when it comes to certain choices. You want to be certain it's the right choice, making a good choice. Joshua chapter 23 really sets the stage for what we heard in Joshua 24 this morning. It prefaces it. So I begin in Joshua 23 at verse 1. After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them. Joshua, by then, a very old man. He summoned all Israel, the elders, the leaders, the judges, the officials, and said to them, I am very old. Yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all those nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted an inheritance for your tribes, all the lands of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have until now. Israel has experienced the great wonder of the mighty hand of the Lord God. A good land has been given to them as their inheritance, as promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Joshua has led Israel since the death of Moses, leading them across the Jordan River into the promised land. The time of Joshua's leading is coming to a close. But before he goes, final words from the Lord God will be spoken to the people of Israel. God has given the land to Israel, and at the same time, Israel has failed to possess the land completely. Remaining nations, they will be a temptation, a pole to false worship. Be careful to obey, Joshua, through the Lord, the Lord speaking through Joshua. Be careful to obey what the Lord spoke to Moses. And is written in the book of the laws of Moses, don't turn aside right or to the left. Be careful to walk in the way the Lord has given. All these years have been training in walking in the way of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. That's how Joshua begins speaking. So these are not his words. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. These words come from the Lord. So after recounting the history of the great things the Lord God has done for them, Joshua, from the Lord, says, now therefore fear the Lord. Judge Joshua 24, beginning at verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In short, fear the Lord and serve the Lord. After recalling all that the Lord God has done, which ought to bring forth gratitude, fear the Lord and serve the Lord. Fear, that word fear, really means to have reverential awe. And this reverential awe, it brings forth love. It draws from the heart the desire to worship and adore the Lord God alone. That's what fear the Lord God means. It brings forth this reverential awe, such that love, and you want to worship and adore the Lord God alone. The words the Lord is given is making clear the Lord God has done such great things. And with such blessing from the Lord, why would you even consider other gods? It still seems that they were dabbling in false gods. It was happening here and there. Such that the Lord speaks through Joshua saying, put away the gods. Put them away. Which means turn away from the false gods. Get rid of them. And then we have this, if it seems evil. Well, it really is if it seems unjust, unreasonable, or inconvenient to serve the Lord God. These are not words spoken to open a door for choosing. Rather, these words are spoken to bring forth a contrast, to convey a clarity in daily life. Serving God is truly the most practical, most reasonable, and most beneficial thing you can do. Choose and choose well. For who in their proper mind would want to serve an idol? Who in their proper mind would want to serve false gods after experiencing and benefiting from the mighty hand of the Lord as they have experienced? They're the called and chosen people, delivered from Egypt with a great display of power. And now many nations have been pushed out by the Lord God to fulfill the promise to Abraham. Bind yourself to the Lord. Choose your own choice. Say it now. Say it out loud and publicly. This is what Joshua does. As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. This past month in Florida, after a summer football conditioning session, 25 young adults chose Christ. And they were baptized. A metal tank was brought onto the field, filled with water, in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. along with the water, and the 25 young men were baptized. The crowd around them celebrated with applause. Contrast this with just happened. 20 to 30 teens terrorized three 7-Elevens in L.A. that are only about 2 miles apart from each other. Three 7-Elevens just 2 miles apart with each other. 20 to 30 teens smashed and grabbed all within a half hour or so, doing great damage to each store. The Freedom from Religion Foundation decries what happened on that Florida football field. But I have not heard the Freedom from Religion Foundation decry the smash and grabs and the 7-Elevens by these teens and what has been happening across many cities across this land. I ask you, are these young adults who are baptized more likely or less likely to be involved in smash and grab? What happened to the days when one comes to faith in Christ and was baptized, was seen as good and beneficial to all? What happened to those days? The school board is supporting the football players, stating that this was student-driven, and it also notes that the community is overwhelmingly rejoicing with these young adults. God will use it for good. Through Joshua, the Lord placed the choice before the people. But not so much as a choice to choose, rather a way of making clear that one is to fear and serve the Lord God alone. As the choice is between the one true God and false gods, it's really not a choice. In the movie The Court Jester with Danny Kaye, Danny Kaye's character must remember the directions to drink from the chalice which has the brew which is true. Similarly, in The Princess Bride at the Battle of the Wits, which cup has the poison? The choice between the people Israel is that there's one and true, and the other that will lead to death, like poison. The true God or false gods? As you understand, this really is not a choice being put before the people. It's to draw clarity. Draw clarity from what is inside of them. This chooses to draw the people into a deeper relationship with the Lord, to bring forth the determination from what is in the heart to walk in the ways of the Lord, with Joshua leading the way by declaring his heart and what will be of his household, obeying the ways of the Lord. The people answered, Joshua 24, beginning at verse 16. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord, to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Now from that answer to the actual history of Israel, we know the people did not live up to what their word spoke. The answer and the reason is original sin. The fall of Adam, the fall of humanity. The answer to that problem was still to come. It will come in due time. But original sin was still there. The Ten Commandments were given. It just showed us how bad as sinners we truly are. But forgiveness through the Son is yet to come. John chapter 6, toward the end of the chapter, Jesus is in Capernaum. He's teaching in the synagogue, declaring, "I am the bread of life." He exhorts the people to believe and have eternal life. Jesus' teaching is challenging for them to hear. "I am the living bread. Your ancestors ate the manna and died." John chapter 6, verse 50, I begin. "But here," meaning himself, "but here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Eat the living bread. Eat it. Bread that has life. Bread that gives life. Bread that is life. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he goes on to say it's the living bread. It means this bread is life. Because Jesus is life. The life that is in Jesus. Arguing then became amongst the people. Eat the living bread. Eat this bread that has life. The reality of life that is in this bread. Eat it and live. Arguing people hearing this thing. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? How can he give us his flesh to eat? I mean, they're arguing. Jesus plainly teaching that you must eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. You must. Otherwise, there is no life in you. Eternal life, that real life, that true life will be in those who eat his flesh and drink his blood. And listen to this. Jesus teaches this also. And I will raise them up the last day. Resurrection from the dead. Real food, real drink in their flesh and blood. John chapter 6, starting at verse 57. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus speaking of himself. A great sifting is now about to occur. The many who are listening and accepting Jesus' teachings for a while now, following as disciples, they really were disciples of Jesus, they find these words too hard to swallow. They're just too hard. These are words they're unable to hear, words unable to comprehend. So the prompting of the birthing faith in them does not happen. It does not take place. Because in the way the Greek is written, all through this is the prompting of birthing faith in the person who's hearing. And these are people just shutting their ears. So this prompting of faith being in birth to them, it's not taking place. It's too hard to hear. And so they walk away. But Jesus is still now taking it up another notch, even more. Does this offend you? I'm the bread of life. You have to eat my flesh. Does this offend you? Jesus teaching about himself that he is the Son of Man who will ascend to where he was. In other words, he came from heaven. He will return to heaven. Wow. If you can't eat my flesh, what are you going to do with these teachings? This teaching he's giving is full of life. It's full of the Spirit and life. No one can come to me unless the Father has offered and given the ability to come. That's the phrasing of it more close to the Greek. No one can come to me unless the Father has offered and given the ability to come. It's that offer of grace that births faith. Instead of hearing and faith being born, inborn them, the vast larger portions of the followers turn and they go away. They turn away from the offer of faith to be birthed in them. Now in a manner, echoing Joshua with choose, you 12 who have been with me, you who have heard and seen all these signs and wonders, all the evidence that I am the Son of Man, the Christ, what will you do this day? Will you also leave? It's not a question about the 12 leaving. He knew their hearts and their affections, and now they need to know themselves, what Jesus knew of them, to draw out from what is in them, from what is in their hearts, to give them an opportunity to express what has been growing. You do not desire to leave, do you? The question brings forth the purpose it was asked. Just as Joshua asked the question to bring forth from the heart an answer. This comes forth in John chapter 6, beginning at verse 68. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." The words of eternal life. Life that comes from God's own self-existence. It's true life that is in these words. Joshua spoke the people not to turn aside to the left nor to the right, but to hold fast to God, for God is life. And turning aside to false gods is not life. Now the Son of God is come. And the words of life spoken are being spoken more clearly to believe and have life that is true life. The broken bread is the broken body of Christ Jesus. And you truly do eat His flesh, as He says we are to do. The wine is the blood poured out. And you truly do drink the blood, as He says we are to do. What this means is that through the crucified Christ Jesus, the broken body, the blood is shed. By eating, you truly do receive the life that is in the real food Jesus is giving. Life, eternal life is yours. And you will be raised up at the last day. Choices, 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 they do abound. But these two questions are set before you. Whom will you fear and serve? To whom will you go for the words of eternal life? Choose. Choose this day. Choose this day is that continuous invitation to respond to the grace the Lord is offering you. That continuous invitation to respond to the grace being freely offered to you. The grace that births faith and draws you to Jesus Christ. The grace that increases faith and helps you hold more fast to Jesus Christ. The grace that brings the forgiveness of sins through the finished work of Christ on the cross. The grace that will fill you with life, true life, such that you will be raised up on the last day to be in the presence of the living God forever and ever without end. Amen. And amen.